Good evening, everybody. It's 9 o'clock where we are. So my name is Caprice. I am the host of the Mentally Queenin podcast. I have one of my reoccurring guests again. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I am Brianna. Caprice and I attended Illinois State University together, and so I had the pleasure of not only meeting her, but interacting with her several times. Graduated from ISU, which will be, my third anniversary on Tuesday, May 12th, so I'm excited. And I currently teach high schoolers.
Talk to us about that.
About teaching?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So I currently teach high school level social studies. I find it interesting because our program is designed a little differently from the public school system, which I really like because we have the opportunity to interact with our students on a more one-on-one basis. But I also like the fact that as the students are growing personally and professionally, so are we. And so one thing that I'm learning are three different subjects while also teaching at the same time. So I'm learning construction, history, like of construction, history in IT, and history in healthcare. And when I tell you it's like three of the most difficult subjects to study at the same time in create and prep curriculum, mm-hmm. I was like, I'll be like exhausted some nights, but it's worth it, especially for the students. I'd much rather like obtain that knowledge to be able to present it to them and not like sound like I'm all over the place with it.
Okay. So, have you been teaching at the same school since you graduated?
No. So actually, I was a preschool teacher before I became a high school teacher. And when I tell you, it's definitely not a big difference between the preschoolers and a high schooler as far as behavior.
Oh,
but
wow.
I would definitely say I enjoy teaching both grade levels. But I think my high schoolers, that's where I want to probably like stay for an extended period of time.
So what did you get your degree in?
So I graduated from Illinois State University with a Bachelor's of Arts in English Studies. I originally went to school for education, and so my degree, part of my undergrad experience was middle level education. And super excited about to take that on, except some things like in undergrad came up so unexpectedly, so I kind of took a different path and majored in English studies. So that's similar to the education route, just I'm not a licensed teacher.
Okay, I got you. So, but you want to stay in the high school room?
Yeah, so I am looking to actually go back to school to obtain my teaching certificate, so my license to be a certified teacher, while also looking into different graduate programs as well. Because we don't just stop at bachelor's, do we?
No, ma'am.
No.
I mean, we can if it's
hard, right.
But I don't want to because I got my bachelor's in graphic communications, and I'm just going to be honest. I don't like doing I'm okay at them, but I don't like doing logos and stuff like that because I don't like... I want to be making an impact in people's lives, which I could be making an impact on people's businesses. That's all fine and dandy, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada. But I want to be a dean of students or something.
Yes.
I don't know. That might change later on, but I feel like where that revolved from was me being very active on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I didn't want to do student affairs like before I went to college. But mm-hmm. when I... just like what I drew to and the things that I were involved in, like extracurricular, I want to do like student affairs. I want to be like director of something or vice president of student affairs or dean of students, like something like that. But we'll see. Life is funny that way. So, okay. So the reason why I actually talk about that is because that's part of the topic tonight, is just being a girl boss. So part of that is like, you know, your career. So you were a mom in college. And so that's what I, not what I want you to talk about mostly, but I really want you to like talk about that because it does happen and you prevail. So can you fill us in on just your experience with that?
Yes. So in undergrad, of course, no one's ever expecting to hear the words uttered out of a nurse or a doctor's mouth that you're pregnant. Not because we believe it's going to ruin our lives, but at that age, at 19, 20, at that age, we are nowhere near mentally developed to be a mother, spiritually, emotionally to be a mother. You know, physically, we can birth a child, obviously, because I birthed a child, but I was not... Definitely, I was not prepared for the journey, and so that was difficult because it was some things that I was battling mentally and emotionally at that time that I needed to actually properly heal from in order to build a relationship with another person. I mean, and especially my child. And so, bringing Jericho into this world was definitely one of the big, not one of, but it was definitely the biggest blessing I could have ever received, especially while in undergrad, because having Jericho and trying to persevere through the many challenges that undergrad throw our way, it was definitely rewarding at the end, but it was challenging. And so I brought Jericho in August of 2013 into ISU. Birthed them in June 2013, but brought them to ISU August 2013, which felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders, because I actually, and no one really knows besides like Tamika Bailey and other people that were close to me or is close to me, that I was academically dismissed from Illinois State that year. And at that time, I did not want to share my story of, okay, I became pregnant so unexpectedly. And I'm not ready to, juggle being a mom, juggle being a single mom, juggle being, a student at Illinois State University and trying to, manage so many different positions, student leader positions, as well as employment. But ultimately, I felt like this was the plan that God had for me. And after being academically dismissed and then birthing Jericho and then losing my brother to murder, in the city of Chicago, it definitely motivated me to pick up, my laptop and write Illinois State University to be admitted back into ISU. And so there I let it all out. I shared my story of being pregnant and not wanting to be judged by informing, even professionals on a college campus at that time, about my situation. And lo and behold, there are resources for parents that are, pregnant on a college campus that will definitely assist you during that time, whether it's academically or socially, personally, scholarships, so financially as well. But I was afraid of the judgment, so I didn't share my story. But I felt a sigh of relief when I did share my story and Illinois State University admitted me back in for the first time. That was the first time I was readmitted to Illinois State. And then from there, I started to just strengthen my relationship with God, because I wanted to be able to put faith where faith belongs. And that was with God. Because I felt like, I know it was a struggle. It definitely was a struggle. But I felt like I was, getting ready to give up on myself during that time. Because it was like, how dare you, place so many different things on my path and expect me to, manage it and juggle it well, Mm-hmm. But I had to start praying. I had to pray for me. I had to pray for Jericho. I had to pray for my home. I had to pray, for my academics at Illinois State University. All the people that was in my corner, such as Tamika Bailey, she was working in Trio at the time. My family members, my close friends at the time, that was able to just be there and not just be a shoulder to lean on, but if I needed them financially, if I needed them for Rico, my cousin Marquise was always on campus helping me with Rico. Will Irvin, my peer alumni coordinator from Gary Comer, was always looking for ways to help Jericho and I, whether it was financially, like buying groceries for us, coming and visiting and taking us, to get food. So I definitely had that support system there once I kind of got established on ISU's campus. And then eventually finding, you know, who I am and who I was, you know, on the path to becoming. So that's how that journey started.
Thank you for sharing your story. So I'm just amazed because people do it, but I don't know. I guess if you had to do it, you would do it. But like what you said, like school and raising a child, and then you were also involved in like extracurricular. So balancing all of that is really amazing. So with all of that going on, what would you say anyone who's going through that would be like your biggest takeaways? What advice would you give to them?
This is for anybody, yeah, you know, that goes through some tough situations. My biggest advice would be that you have to give it to God. You definitely have to strengthen that relationship that you have with God, and just and start going to Him. And I'm not saying I'll just pray. You have to, you know, be able to get into your word and apply that scripture, you know, in your life, you know, in your home. And so I say that because one of my favorite, you know, scriptures that I always go back to and that I always read is in James chapter 1, verses 2-4. And it reads like, to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that's what I learned in undergrad is being able to get on my hands and knees and pray to God and to release some things so I can feel free, while also giving me strength to accept the things that He is changing in my life, to accept the path that I'm getting ready to go down, the strength to be the mother that Jericho needed, the strength to, you know, to be the woman that I needed. I found myself many times, you know, giving me myself prep talks, and whether it was in a mirror or just sitting on my bed, you know, from a long day, or waking up to prepare for, you know, that day, giving myself those prep talks while also, you know, talking to God. And it was many times, you know, I was faced with some trials and tribulations and never thought that, you know, I would see the, you know, the next day, actually, you know, but putting my faith and trusting in God and trusting, you know, in God's word definitely allowed me to persevere during those difficult times. And I think that that's, you know, one of the biggest takeaways in undergrad was being able to get close to God, to know that He had me and He had Jericho. I mean, can you imagine the things that was coming my way and that He came up against that I had no idea was getting ready to happen or could have happened to me or to Jericho? The nights mm-hmm. that, you know, Jericho and I was getting off the bus. I mean, when I say super late, because I'm leaving one job, going to Illinois State campus because it's an event or it's a meeting or it's something that I'm hosting or whatever, you know, me and Jericho tagging along, and it's late at night getting off the bus, having to walk home and thinking I'm creating shortcuts, but in reality, those shortcuts, no one could really see me, you know. So it's nice like that. I think about, you know, God may have, you know, was blocking some toxic or some negative things that was trying to attack Jericho and I. So it was by the grace of God and my strength in God to, you know, to be able to continue that undergrad walk. And that's why when Jericho and I walked across the stage at Black graduation, it wasn't because I wanted to show people that, you know, we could do it. I praise dance across that stage with my son in my hand because I wanted them to understand that God, once you put your trust in God and your faith in God, God will move mountains. You know, He can do the impossible. And the Bible tell you that. And so those, I think back to those times where it was like, wow, I actually didn't think I'd make it, Caprice. And to, you know, be walking on eggshells trying to get through it, but I got through it, you know, and God carried Jericho and I. So people got to get right with God in order to get right with themselves, to be able to deliver, even perform and present themselves in a way that they want to. So get right with God would be my biggest advice to anyone.
Wow. I just think back to like, so my dad had me at 18. Mm-hmm. And my mom didn't go to college, but he did. And so, like, I would have to ask him. I have to talk to him about it, but I don't know how he did it either. But I lived with my mom, so it's like different, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, having to support a kid while in college is another thing. And you know, it's not just about, like, when we go to college, you know, a lot of people tell us, like, okay, this is your time, this is about you, you know, you need to focus on school, and you know, you can get involved, but the main thing is school. But like, when you're a mother or a father in college, your main thing is your child. And so that's something very remarkable that you speak to, because I personally don't have any friends that got pregnant in college, but meeting, just hearing your story and hearing you talk about it just sounds like, and then getting through it. Cause I remember, I think we, did you graduate 2017?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we walked Black graduation together, and I remember seeing you with him, and I think you cried, but I was like, wow, I'm happy for her. And that's before we had even, you know, started communicating. But so usually I have my questions lined out. I'm just like very amazed at your story. And I want to thank you too. Like, every time you get on the podcast, you open up. And I think that your words really help people out there. I know that my dad, I caught him listening to it, and he just was like, go on, girl. And that's right, that's right. And then like, he approached me afterwards and just was like, who was that you had? And I said, oh, that was my, basically my classmate. We graduated mm-hmm. at the same time, and we just started communicating via social media. You still do stuff with ISU though, don't you?
Not recently, but yes, in the past, this past like summer, was probably one of the last times I was really able to engage with the alumni, engagement program, through Illinois State. I try to stay engaged, especially with community service, with ISU, to get out there and be able to give back, especially into the communities here, because I'm, you know, a resident in Bloomington, but yep, to pour into that, into the community, pour into the next generation. And then again, it's all about, you know, representing Illinois State in the best light that that's possible, so others can see that it's not just, you know, young people and parties and other things that, you know, young people try or will engage in their undergraduate career, but what to look forward to, you know, outside of their undergrad graduation, you know, to be able to give back and show what it means to, you know, be a red bird, and a red bird for life, because once a red bird, always a red bird, right?
I want to do the same, but I'm not going to be living in Illinois, so I got to just live from a distance. Like, my, she's in my chapter. I call her my mom. Her name is Karen Aguirre, and she is the president of, well, she was, I think she's not anymore. I have to ask her, the Black Alumni Association with ISU, and she mm-hmm. does that from Chicago. And so I was like, I could probably do something like that, because I really do love ISU. People have their, you know, things to say about it, but everybody is entitled to their own experience. So I'm not, you know, downplaying anything anybody has to say, but I didn't really encounter a lot of different things that people speak on when I was an undergrad. Now, as a grad student, it was kind of different, but because I didn't feel as supported. But as an undergrad, I had a ball. Like, I was in Maasai. I volunteered mm-hmm. for First Look, now Red Bird Ready. I was a RA. I was a Delta. I volunteered for just a bunch of different things. It was really, like, I had a really good time at ISU. And so that is what inspired my journey to pursuing student affairs. So I would like to be a part of ISU however way I can. I mean, mm-hmm. I would like to have an established scholarship. That would be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, you could do, you know, anything that you put your mind to. Sometimes we limit ourselves by believing in the limitations that we have placed and, you know, others have placed on us. So I definitely want to tell you that you can do anything that you put your mind to. You just got to put action behind every goal that we set. And I was actually just talking about that. putting action behind every goal we set. I wanted to go back before I go forward with what I was going to say. I wanted to go back to commenting on your father, and I definitely appreciate him being a cheerleader from a distance. And even though I haven't, you know, officially met him yet, I do thank him and I appreciate, you know, appreciate that support. And the other day when you texted me and told me, definitely brought a smile to my face. But what we don't realize as kids and even as young adults is that it actually takes a village to get us, you know, to where we need to be. And even once we're there, we still need, you know, some people from our village that we, you know, we pull on and we lean on. But it definitely takes a village. And hearing those words from a guy I haven't even met as of yet, definitely give me that motivation and inspiration to continue to do, you know, what it is that I'm doing, especially as I pour into the next generation of leaders. So I appreciate that. And I'm gonna leave this with, because I'm recording from the Facebook Live, you know, I want people to start acknowledging those people that's in their village that's lifting them, and not being those crabs in a barrel that's constantly, you know, pulling one another down, but lifting you, because it's all about elevation. It's all about expanding, and it's all about executing. So in order to get to that next level, you need those people that's in your village that's lifting you and not pulling you down. So that's that I wanted to comment on for your dad. And then I kind of lost my train of thought of as to where we were before I started talking about your dad and being a cheerleader from a distance.
That's definitely important, because like we ask for support from other people, but like being a parent, when my mom and my dad would text me and they'll be like, oh, you know, this was a good episode, or I like when you said this, like, that means the world to me more than if Beyonce listened to my podcast. Like, yes. My parents actually listening to it and being proud. So I thank you for acknowledging that, because mm-hmm. he is awesome. I have awesome parents. But that's kind of the same thing I want to do. And I like that you mentioned, you know, pouring into the next generation of leaders, because like, as we all know, like, especially with our community, we do have people who are lost, but what I want to be is a mentor. Cause like, I used to volunteer also when I had started my own organization. It was called DAW, and it stood for Don't Oppose Love and Life. I was approached, to volunteer at the Boys and Girls Club and speak to their girls that were aged like 8 to like 16. And so we mm-hmm. would go like one Wednesday a month and volunteer once or twice a month, just depending on, you know, everybody's schedule. But that to me was very fulfilling, because they had questions and we had answers, and our answers came from not textbook but experience. And mm-hmm. so like, that is where my passion lies. And then I can see a lot of that in you too. So when you say pouring into the next generation of leaders, like, it doesn't matter where you came from. Like, it matters where you're going. And right. like you mentioned, God, and just God places people in your life, period, to help you change that direction so that you're going down the right path. Because all it just takes somebody to get through to you and make you realize that life can be as big as you want it to be. And like you mentioned, like, not placing limitations on yourself and not letting other people place limitations mm-hmm. on you either. Mm-hmm. because you can be your biggest enemy at times. And so mm-hmm. That's all that I have for tonight. I thank you for being on. Was there any closing remarks that you had, Bree?
I just want to not only thank you for this time, Caprice, but you are doing such an amazing job. And to kind of just see you picking yourself up slowly, you know, because we don't want to do it quickly, because we're thinking, you know, thinking ahead of time. That's how I look at it. But to be able to see you picking yourself up slowly but surely is amazing to me, Caprice. And I know that, you know, people may not say it often, but you are definitely a beautiful spirit to have, not just around, but, you know, as you scroll through social media, sometimes we see the negative and the toxic things. But lately, scrolling through Facebook, I've seen nothing but mentally queening everywhere. And that is amazing to me, to be able to see it. I remember when you first like developed it and, you know, you started like informing us, and I'll check in from time to time. I'm like, hey, nothing new yet. But to see you consistent with it now and accomplishing the goals that you have set for yourself is absolutely amazing. And I appreciate being able to see those things and witness you prosper and bloom into who you are becoming. So I appreciate that. I appreciate this time, especially to open up and hopefully encourage people that's out there and that's listening, let them know that anything is possible. You just have to believe, you know, keep your faith in God, in your vision, in yourself. And sometimes you just, you know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be difficult and you need that break. But the goal is not to give up. You know, giving up is not an option. That's why I tell the young people when I speak mm-hmm. to them, that giving up is not an option. And that's for you too. So keep doing what you're doing. I know that you bring a smile to my face. Super duper proud of you. And I can't wait to celebrate once you got hooded with that master's.
Me either. And thank you. We mentioned before the call a shirt. So I have they're not done yet, but I have Mentally Queening shirts for the people who's on the podcast that I'm giving as like a gift. So, I just need you. You texted me your shirt size. Yep, because you said you were extra small. Okay, so yeah, I'll just be on the lookout for that. So, but thank you. As always, it's been a pleasure. You speak very well. You can just hear the faith spewing from your mouth. And that's to the point where I want to be too, where I no longer, I don't know. It's just the way that you speak to me, it's like hearing a sermon. You know, like, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's not calculated. It's not like, you can tell it's just you. You can tell it's just coming from, you know, how you feel. And so I hope to aspire to be that way as much, the more and more that I do these podcasts. Cause like, I'm like, she speaks really well, doesn't she, Dad? He was like, yeah, she speaks. It's like she's preaching to you. So, all right, Bree. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in. And as always, good night. And thank you, Bree.
Thank you, Caprice. Good night.
Good night.